The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from fightingblindness.org, we have Vigeneron receives FDA authorization to launch clinical trial for mRNA trans-splicing gene therapy for Stargardt disease. Vigeneron, a company developing genetic therapies for eye diseases, has received authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to launch a Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for VG801, an emerging mRNA transplicing gene therapy for people with Stargardt disease and other retinal diseases caused by mutations in the gene ABCA4. The company will also seek authorization from the European Medicines Agency to conduct the clinical trial at sites in the EU. Additional details for the planned clinical trial are forthcoming. Stargardt disease and most other inherited retinal diseases is caused by mutations, mistakes, in a single gene. Genes are like recipes. Information from genes is transcribed into messages called mRNA, which cells read to make proteins critical to the cell's health and function. If there is a mutation in the gene, for instance, a mistake in the recipe, it gets transferred in the mRNA, and the cell makes insufficient and incorrect proteins, leading to disease. While many emerging retinal disease gene therapies involve delivery of an entire new gene to cells in the retina to compensate for the mutated gene, the ABCA4 gene is too large to deliver with commonly used viral delivery systems. VG801 overcomes the delivery challenge of the large ABCA4 gene by delivering it into halves using dual viral vectors. Once in the cell, half of the mRNA is transcribed from each gene half. VG801 uses a special biochemical process called transplicing to bond the two mRNA halves together. The cell then reads the complete mRNA to make a functional protein. VG801 is a one-time treatment injected into the vitreous, the soft gel in the middle of the eye. Vigeneron also announced that the FDA has selected its proposal for the Rare Disease Endpoint Advancement, RDEA, pilot program. The RDEA program is designed to foster innovation and advance rare disease drug development programs. As part of the RDEA program, Vigeneron will collaborate with the FDA throughout the novel efficacy endpoint development process. The identification of novel endpoints, three-quarter measures that enable clinical researchers to determine if an emerging therapy is saving or restoring vision, is critical to clinical trial success and regulatory approval of the treatment. I believe that three-quarter symbol is replacing a quote mark. In April 2024, Vigeneron launched a Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial for a gene therapy for people with retinitis pigmentosa caused by mutations in the gene CNGA1. From the world is accessible.com, celebrating leaders and trailblazers on International Day of Persons with Disabilities, posted December 3rd. International Day of, three simple words that precede a vast array of topics and demographics, each enjoying its moment of recognition and celebration. Some of these days verge on the silly or trivial, like International Day of Awesomeness, March 10th, or International Beer Lovers Day, August 3rd. Others, such as International Day of Education, January 24th, or International Day of Peace, September 21st, naturally carry more weight and significance. I'll admit, though, that I rarely take much notice of these days as they come and go each year. But today is different. Perhaps I'm biased. Disability is such a core part of who I am. But the International Day of Persons with Disabilities isn't a day I let slip by unnoticed. For me, it's an opportunity, a pause for reflection. It's a chance to survey the landscape, both broadly and on a deeply personal micro level, and ask where we stand. Apologies for the pun if you're a fellow wheelchair user like me. Where are we in terms of disability rights, accessibility legislation, and inclusiveness? How far have we come, and how far do we still have to go? Societally, writ large, are we still the butt of people's jokes? Is disability still seen as a valid pretext for an insult? If I had to distill my answer into a single paragraph, I'd say this. While significant progress has been made, both in improving accessible infrastructure globally and increasing the representation of disability in media, disability remains a minority group that lacks the same protections against verbal discrimination afforded to other demographics. For instance, two people chatting publicly online are far less likely to face backlash, let alone lose their job, if one casually calls the other a retard, than if they were to use the homophobic F-word slur. As a society, we've made incredible strides in shielding many marginalized groups from public prejudice. Yet I can't help but notice how rarely disability-related slurs and insults are challenged. Need another example? A social media trend I've observed for quite some time involves mocking little people, portraying them as far smaller than they are, all in the name of comedy. This trend has been perpetuated by prominent influencers with comment sections overflowing with people egging it on, reveling in the so-called humor, and never once questioning whether it constitutes bullying. To me, it's a glaring reminder of how far we still have to go. Now, rather than letting this blog post dwell entirely on the negatives, I want to shift the focus to this year's theme for the International Day of Persons with Disabilities: amplifying the leadership of persons with disabilities for an inclusive and sustainable future. One leader whose influence continues to reverberate across generations is the late Judy Heumann, H-E-U-M-A-N-N. Known as the mother of the disability rights movement, Judy's relentless advocacy played a pivotal role in the passage of groundbreaking legislation, such as the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. Through her work, she ensured that accessibility and inclusion became not just aspirations, but enforceable rights. Judy's legacy goes far beyond her political achievements. Her leadership has inspired countless individuals to embrace their power as advocates, reminding the world that disability rights are human rights. Another remarkable figure leading the charge for inclusivity is Sinead Burke, B-U-R-K-E. As a disability advocate, writer, and educator, Sinead has used her platform to challenge perceptions of disability, particularly within industries like fashion and design. Her work emphasizes the importance of accessibility not just as a legal mandate, but as an opportunity for creativity and innovation. From her TED Talk, Why Design Should Include Everyone, to her advocacy at global events, Sinead continues to amplify the voices of those with disabilities, ensuring that their leadership and insights are not only heard, but also celebrated. But it's not just the well-known disabled leaders and trailblazers that I feel proud of and want to celebrate today. Through my work with The World is Accessible, I've had the privilege of connecting with countless forward thinkers and leaders in the disability space, many of whom are integral to our vibrant and inspiring community. One such leader is Christina C.A. That's an accent mark of some sort. C-A-L-U-I-A-N-U. Whose passion and dedication were instrumental in shaping why I created The World is Accessible in the first place. Back in 2016, her tour company, Sano Touring, invited me on a tour of Romania, introducing me to some of the incredible landscapes and allowing me to step back in time through the history and culture they shared with me along the way. That journey inspired me to build a community where I could connect others with similarly enriching and accessible opportunities. Christina's contributions to accessibility extend far beyond her role as the founder of Accessible Romania by Sano Touring. She serves as Romania's national expert in the European Commission's Accessible EU flagship initiative, and is the founder and board member of the CED Romania Association, a social enterprise focused on improving accessibility and inclusivity. Most notably, CED Romania has been included in the Zero Projects 2024 Inclusive Spaces Report for its work on the accessibility of the Water Museum in Timișoara. which features a detailed 3D model to enhance access for people with disabilities. Christina's dedication to making the world more inclusive through both local and international initiatives exemplifies the spirit of leadership that we celebrate on this day. Then there's Josh Grisdale, the founder of both Tabafolk and Accessible Japan. Originally from Canada, Josh was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at just 6 months old. After immigrating to Japan, he quickly noticed a significant gap in accessibility information available in English. In response, he launched Accessible Japan to document and share detailed accessibility insights across key regions of the country. Later, he founded Tabifolk, a dedicated social media platform and forum focused entirely on accessible travel. Tabifolk, T-A-B-I-F-O-L-K, features over 80 subgroups, covering everything from accessible RV travel to accessible beaches around the globe, and countless topics in between. It also serves as a hub for the latest accessible travel news, blog posts, and a wealth of resources for travelers with disabilities. Josh inspires me daily with his unwavering drive to empower the disabled community through the knowledge and information, enabling people to travel without barriers and with confidence. Finally, individuals like Cheryl Signorelli, S-I-G-N-O-R-E-L-L-I, embody the spirit of grassroots advocacy, combining kindness and altruism with a determined effort to raise awareness about accessible spaces in local communities. As the driving force behind Zamonos.com, Z-A-M-O-N-O-S.com, Cheryl has created a platform that empowers users to share detailed accessibility reviews of the places they've visited. This collaborative approach provides some of the most comprehensive and nuanced information available, offering insights into a rich array of accessibility features, from wheelchair ramps and braille signage to sensory-friendly environments and dietary accommodations. Cheryl's dedication not only helps build a valuable resource for travelers and locals alike, but also fosters a culture of transparency and inclusivity, encouraging businesses and public spaces to embrace accessibility as a priority. Her work exemplifies how one person's vision can inspire a collective movement, making the world more navigable and welcoming for everyone. As I reflect on the leaders, advocates, and everyday changemakers who are reshaping the narrative around disability, I feel a renewed sense of optimism and determination. The International Day of Persons with Disabilities is more than just a date on the calendar. It's a reminder of the progress we've made and the challenges we've yet to overcome. It's a call to action for all of us, disabled or not, to amplify the voices of those who have been historically silenced, and to ensure that inclusion and accessibility are not afterthoughts, but core principles of our future. Today, let's honor those who have paved the way, celebrate those who continue to push boundaries, and recognize the power of community in driving meaningful change. Whether through global initiatives, local projects, or even the small but significant act of challenging a harmful stereotype, every step forward matters. Together, we can create a world where the leadership of persons with disabilities is not just amplified on this one day, but every day. From NewsObserver.com, blind Raleigh singer overcomes obstacles on path to stardom. If There's a Will, by Michael Perchick for ABC 11, updated December 27th at 9:40 a.m. Our news partner ABC 11 reports that Mary Michaels was born without eyes, hearing loss in one ear, a cleft lip, and half a nose. None of that diminished her gift of song, and she performed holiday music on Christmas Day as volunteers served hot meals to those in need in Raleigh. As hundreds of people lined up in City Market on Wednesday morning to receive food, clothing, toiletries, and toys as part of an annual Christmas tradition, Mary Michaels stood behind a microphone at the end of the street to offer something else. Her name is spelled M-I-K-E-L-S. I want to give back to the community because everybody, I don't care who you are or where you came from or what you did or what you didn't do, everybody deserves Christmas cheer and Christmas music. Everybody needs joy. Everybody needs to understand where that joy comes from, said Michaels. The 27-year-old Raleigh native performed a series of songs, sharing her talents with the community. I think back to being a teenager and I think, is there anything I would rather do? Is there any place I'd rather be than out here with these wonderful folks that have given their time to do this themselves? Said Michaels. Her voice commanded the attention of those volunteering and enjoying their meals, though that's just one part of her story. She was born without eyes, hearing loss in one ear, a cleft lip, and half a nose. None of that diminished her most prized possession, perfect pitch. If you've got an obstacle in your life, but you've got the willpower and the desire to accomplish a goal and pursue a dream, there's nothing that's going to stop you from doing it, said Michaels. She recalled indulging in a wide variety of music, jazz, gospel, and Broadway tunes, all serving as an outlet for creativity and expression. What drew me specifically to music is probably the fact that when I would listen to it, I was like I was in this other world, said Michaels. Though her story itself is noteworthy, it's her skills that have earned her well-deserved praise and recognition, including performances with the Tenors, the North Carolina Master Chorale, and as a contestant on American Idol. Yet it's performances such as these, with her mom Juana running around soundboard just feet away, that are especially meaningful. I just like to do this kind of thing, quite honestly. I love it, said Michaels. She's been a professional singer for 3 years, with each performance an opportunity to share her passion and talent with the world. You are your own boss, and you have to decide, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. I want to make it happen. You can do that. You don't have to listen to anybody that says, oh, no, you can't. Because if there is a will, there's a way, Michaels said. ABC 11 is the News and Observer's news gathering partner. The story was originally published December 27, 2024 at 8:55 a.m. From BrailleInstitute.org, Assistive Technology Month. Step into an accessible future with the help of assistive technology. Every January, we celebrate assistive technology as a life-changing tool for people with vision loss. Join us for free online workshops on the latest in assistive technology. You can join from anywhere in the world. All you have to do is register online, and we'll save you a spot. Intro to JAWS workshop. Online, learning to do basic tasks like reading documents and getting information from pictures on your PC, using JAWS for Windows and a keyboard. Thursday, January 9, 2025, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. Learn about the blind subreddit. Online, Reddit is a social media platform where users share content, ask questions, and discuss topics. Join us as we welcome Norbert Rum, who runs the Blind subreddit, as he talks about what it is and how to get involved. Tuesday, January 14th, 2025, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time. Humanware update, new date and time. Online, join us for an update on the latest product developments from Humanware for people with low vision and blindness. Tuesday, January 21st, 2025, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more about AIRA, A-I-R-A, and Ask Me Anything with Chief Technology Officer Jeffrey Peddle, P-E-D-D-L-E. Online, AIRA is a leading company in the assistive technology space with a smartphone app that allows people to call agents for specialized remote help and also offers new free AI features. Chief Technology Officer Jeffrey Peddle will describe how AIRA works. Friday, January 17th, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Artificial Intelligence Technology for the Blind. Online, learn about artificial intelligence, AI, including the good things and the not-so-good things, and what the AI revolution is doing for visually impaired people. Wednesday, January 22, 2025, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Successful Blind Professionals, Advanced Technology for Work. Online, Blind neuroscientist Lucas Nadolskis, N-A-D-O-L-S-K-I-S, of UC Santa Barbara, and American Council of the Blind Policy Director Claire Stanley will describe how they use advanced technology in the workplace and how their advocacy for technical renovation will help more blind people work. Friday, January 24th, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Meta's Smart Glasses. Online workshop, did you know Meta partnered with Ray-Ban to create AI glasses? During this workshop, we'll explore what they are and what they can do. Tuesday, January 28th, 2025, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time. Explore Braille's self-paced course in Canvas. Unlock Braille's self-paced courses, available on our website. Discover how the BVI community can explore engaging and relevant educational topics through Canvas. What is Apple Intelligence using iPhone 16? Online workshop. Learn how to leverage iPhone 16's AI-driven features, such as intelligent photo descriptions, advanced voice commands, and Siri's enhanced capabilities. The workshop will focus on how these cutting-edge tools can promote greater independence and accessibility in your daily life. Thursday, January 30th, 2025, 1:30 p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. A reading and conversation with Andrew Leland, available to all online in person. Andrew Leland will be in conversation with Braille Institute library patron and instructor John Nuanes, N-U-A-N-E-S. Andrew Leland is the author of The Country of the Blind, A Memoir at the End of Sight, Penguin Press 2023. A finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in Memoir/Autobiography. It was named a Best Book of the Year by The New Yorker, The Washington Post, The Atlantic, and others. His writing has appeared in The New York Times Magazine, The New Yorker, McSweeney's Quarterly, and The San Francisco Chronicle, among other outlets. From 2013 to 2019, he hosted and produced The Organist, an arts and culture podcast for KCRW. He has also produced pieces for Radio Lab and 99% Invisible. Event details, free, ways to attend, on live instruction via Microsoft Teams, Thursday, January 16, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. In person, Los Angeles, 741 North Vermont Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 90029. Thursday, January 16, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Time. How to sign up? RSVP at the hot link. You'll receive an email with the appropriate info to access the event after you sign up. From hot24h.cafex.biz. 9 things you should never plug into a power strip. One of the first thoughts that comes to mind when we think about the past is how people lived before electricity. We can't picture a day without it nowadays because all of our equipment and electronics are powered by energy. The truth is that most houses don't have enough power outlets to keep everything running and charged, so most of us rely on power strips without realizing that plugging appliances that use a lot of electricity into a power strip turns them into dangerous fire hazards. Although power strips are ideal for charging your phone or powering an entertainment setup, there are several items that should never be put into one. Air conditioners, space heaters, toasters, and other high-wattage appliances can easily cause power strips to overheat, posing a fire threat. And there's an image of a really crispy power strip with about 3 plugs in it. Even before plugging anything into a power strip, evaluate how much power it can handle. This is frequently stated on the product. To function, high-capacity appliances require a large amount of electricity to be drawn through an electrical circuit. Keep in mind that an appliance does not have to be enormous in order to consume a lot of power. Below is the list of appliances that should never be plugged into a power strip. Number 1, the oven. Even though the oven is not used continually, it is a power-hungry appliance that should not be plugged into a power strip. In fact, it should be plugged into its own wall outlet on its own circuit. Number 2, refrigerator. Refrigerators require a lot of power and frequently cycle on and off, which can easily overload a power strip and cause damage. Much like the oven, refrigerators require a wall outlet dedicated solely to powering the appliance. Number 3, washing machine. When turned on, washing machines pull a lot of power. This is the main reason why these appliances shouldn't share a receptacle with any other appliance or device. Most washing machines use a max of up to 1400 watts, putting it dangerously close to the max load of most power strips. On top of that, while working, washing machines are usually left unattended and work longer hours, at least an hour, which is long enough for a power strip to overheat. Number 4, heating. Portable heaters should never be plugged into a power strip because most of them use 1500 watts of energy on their high settings, and they usually run for extended periods of time. Number 5, microwave. Since they consume a lot of energy when used, most microwave ovens are plugged into their own receptacle, and that is always a good practice. Number six, coffee maker. Those who own a coffee maker are not fully aware of the power these appliances use, and this is why they should never be plugged into any sort of power strip or extension cord. Number seven, toaster. You may think that browning up slices of bread or bagels doesn't require a lot of energy, but the truth is that toasters use a lot of energy when in use, and they should be plugged directly into the receptacle rather than a power strip. Number eight, another power strip. Power strips are not meant to be used in conjunction with another power strip, although many people do exactly that. This, however, violates most safety codes because it can easily lead to overloading the electrical system. Number nine, electronics, computer, TV, router. These types of electronic devices don't necessarily use a lot of power on their own, but they are sensitive to surges, and you can find yourself with a burnt-out computer or TV very quickly if you plug them into a power strip. If you want to protect those sensitive devices from power surges, opt for a power strip that functions as a surge protector. Please share this article with your family and friends on Facebook. From the American Foundation for the Blind, a heartfelt thanks for being a team player. When I stepped into the role this past September as AFB's new Chief Development Officer, it marked one of the highlights of my professional life. This milestone comes after 3 decades of an exciting journey that has allowed me to work with so many remarkable and inspirational people across the globe. My own path to success began when I discovered running in college. After connecting with several powerful mentors and spending countless hours pushing my limits on the track, I aimed my sights on achieving 2 key goals in life: to one day stand atop the podium on the world stage with a medal around my neck, and to break down barriers for those who would follow in my footsteps. After competing in 4 consecutive Paralympic Games, where I climbed the podium more than once, the time came to retire my running shoes and pass the torch. Yet little did I know that my goal of breaking down barriers was just getting started. For over 20 years, I've been fortunate to help lift up nonprofits through fundraising and development. In recent years, my work has allowed me to impact a community that is deeply personal to me, having been born with my own vision impairment and raising a son who also has low vision. When my husband and I realized our son would face some of the same hurdles I faced in life, my passion for breaking down these barriers grew even stronger. This passion is what makes working at AFB so meaningful, knowing that I'm now part of a winning team committed to creating a world of endless possibilities for people who are blind to have low vision. It's knowing that our sweat equity for success is made possible through the generous support of each and every person like you, cheering us on along the way. As we prepare to turn our calendars to 2025 and look ahead at the race that lies before us, can you help AFB conquer the barriers that still stand in our way? Hot button to donate now. Will you join me, my husband John, my son JT, and my guide dog Mary, in making a gift today? Your support helps all of us win. If you've already donated, thank you. If you haven't, it's not too late. Wishing you and your loved ones a blessed and peaceful new year. Warmest regards, Pam McGonigal, Chief Development Officer, American Foundation for the Blind. A quick note from Susan McLean at the DRNC. Coming soon, Community Connections. We know the disability community is always more powerful when we are standing together, supporting and building community. Starting in January, every Friday morning, DRNC will feature upcoming disability-focused events from our partners and community members on our social media accounts. Have a disability-focused event that you'd like us to share? Email communications@disabilityrightsnc.org to let us know. Well, I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call us at 919-832-5138.